What am I doing?
Bean is in a meditation pose.
I'm on my
she's on her third eye, and she's having a full session.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today is a free-for-all, Bean. It's listener question episode.
I'm laughing already, and it hasn't even happened.
All right, well, let's get into it. All right, still laughing. Hi, Bean.
I won't stop. I'm going to giggle this whole entire episode.
Why are you so giggly?
I don't know. I had a lot
Did you take a gummy at the wrong time?
No, I just had a lot of caffeine.
Well, hello. Ooh, nice to see you, my friend.
Hi, love your face.
Love your face. Bean, I'm actually really excited about today because it feels less structured. So maybe it's exciting for us and not so much for the listener. So Everyone buckle up.
Maybe this will end up being the new vibe. Like we just go, reckless every episode. Yeah. And we just like say crazy shit and people are like, what?
Yeah, I'm down.
This is going to elevate us. Yeah, let's go.
This is going to elevate us. Famous last words. All right. But before we get into it, Bean, tell me about your week. Cringe, delight, what you got for me today?
I don't know, but I really hope that this will be somebody's first episode they ever listen to. And they're like, what the shit show is happening?
Why did my friend recommend this fucking podcast?
My cringe is that my shirt, I just realized as we started recording, is on Inside Out. And my delight is that I am leaving for a very small girls trip tomorrow morning. And I'm very excited
Excuse
about
me.
It.
We're just going... What? Hold on a minute. This is a problem.
It was not your girl. This got
cringy. I don't even know that you're going on a girl's trip.
Sorry, so it's not really a girl's trip.
Where the hell are you going? Who the hell are you going with?
I know exactly when I share it, you're just going to be like, oh, okay, never mind. Like you were like, oh, that doesn't make me jealous. Because I am going to the one, the only Atlantic City, New Jersey. Woo! No, I'm going with... I went in October. I went to Florida for a friend's 40th, and she very lovely included me and two of her other very good friends from a long time ago who I didn't know. She included me on this trip with them, and we all became like very fast friends. You know how that just sometimes happens?
Yeah.
And we all had like the best trip, and it was so lovely. And then we've come back, and since then we like met up for breakfast maybe one time. We all have a shit ton of kids with a shit ton of activities, so like nobody can ever do anything. And then somehow we just, a couple weeks ago, somebody was like, let's just go to like nearby. AC's only like 2 hours from us. And they have like a bunch of spas there. So we're just going to some hotel with some super nice spa and bathhouse type vibe. We have dinner reservations. Might hit up a show later.
Yeah. What hotel?
Called like Oceans or something. Okay. It was the old Revel. I don't know. Are you well versed in the AC hotel scene?
I was trying to get a picture of like the level of swankiness I was picturing you in. Like, are we having martinis? Swanky.
Yeah. This isn't like dirty AC like on the streets. This is like if you're gonna AC, do it.
You AC like
in
this
style. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a classy Atlantic City trip.
In fact, we were texting this morning about what to wear, and I said, "Do we wear slutty AC clothes, or do we just do like the mom uniform of like jeans and like?"
Please do not do that.
Top.
I need you to wear the sluttiest AC clothes that are classy. I need you to keep it classy, San Diego.
All right. Keep it classy, Atlantic City.
Okay. Well, I feel not jealous and very happy for you.
Thanks. Great.
I really do. That is exciting. It is fun to just go away without your family and just do the damn thing.
Do the damn
thing. So I'm real excited for you.
And I'm getting a massage, which I haven't had in a while. And, you know, just feeling it.
Good. Enjoy it. You deserve it, my love.
I will. How about you, ma'am?
Okay, here's my cringe. Oh. Do you guys ever, and by you guys, I mean you, Bean.
I'm here.
You and your multiple personalities, ever feel like when you buy certain jeans, they stink?
Like they smell like jean?
No. They smell like manure. They smell like, they smell disgusting.
No. Where are you buying your jeans, babe?
These are from, we bought these together. Where did we go? Paige?
No, you didn't buy jeans. You bought a jumpsuit.
And jeans. Anyway, was that Paige? It doesn't matter. Paige, we love you.
Yes.
Yeah. But they stink. And every time I wear them, I'm like, oh my God, it smells. You know what it sort of smells like? You know when you're a kid or you like accidentally step in dog poo and then you carry it around and that smell?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend maybe like bringing them back. Is this something that happens to you frequently? So you're saying this as though it always goes down in your house.
It happened with another pair of designer jeans. So let me just say something to you. I Googled it.
Okay. And?
And I found that they treat a lot of jeans with formaldehyde.
Oh, gross. And
unhealthy. What you're smelling is the bacteria of the formaldehyde that's still trapped in the fibers of the jean.
How can you buy non-formaldehyde jeans?
I guess you smell them in the store, but I also Googled. By the way, when you start to Google, how do you get the smell of, the top search is formaldehyde out of your jeans.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it is common. I just wanted to say that.
How does cow manure get into the fabric of your pants?
Right. And so the way you can do it, just so you guys, in case you're interested.
Never had this problem, but yes.
You can soak them in baking soda, or you can add a cup of white vinegar to your laundry on cold.
That's like the answer for everything.
Or you can soak them, vinegar, baking soda.
I just want to know if it worked. Do your jeans still smell
like
shit?
Lemon juice. Lemon juice. I haven't done it yet. I just Googled it this morning.
Oh, I would love to hear the outcome, please.
Thank you. It's really cringy and upsetting, and I don't like it.
And do other people smell you, do you think?
I asked TJ if he can smell it, but he can't smell anything. So he was the wrong person to ask. And I didn't want to ask my 15-year-old because she would have berated me for
an hour. She would have been like, yeah, you do smell.
She's a lovely, lovely human, but she does like to make fun of her mommy. All right. Well, I hope that, you know, anyone who has formaldehyde problem has been helped by this. We, this episode, have our amazing producer Anais also on camera writing us notes.
So, and I did want to jump on really fast, actually, for you and Anais, and wish you all a very happy Nowruz. Wait, I don't say happy Nowruz. Oh. What do I say? What?
Nowruz Mubarak.
Nowruz Mubarak. Merci. I would like to wish both you and your whole entire family.
That had nothing to do with Anais holding up a sign that said, Melissa, prompted. Wish us a happy new year.
But it is nice. It's like a recognizing something important. I think it was a great addition.
Thank you for recognizing something important. It was Persian New Year, which is our New Year is the beginning of the spring equinox, which
so
I really
smart. Love. So smart.
Because it does feel like a new year beginning. When stuff is blooming. Yes. So we just had Nowruz. Thank you. Appreciate it. And we really look to Nowruz for new beginnings and fresh perspectives.
Let it be.
And so it shall be. Namaste. Okay. Great. Well,
this would just be
a free-for-all. We get a bunch of questions, which we feel so lucky about. We either get them in our Instagram handle. By the way, we're on Instagram. The pod is on Instagram at Signal with Maury and Melissa. And so people DM us questions there. And then I also get a lot of questions on my Instagram.
Yeah. Last week's episode, we answered a listener question and we were like, this is super fun to actually answer like real humans' questions rather than just make up our own outlines every week.
What's in my head?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so we were like, let's do more of that, which prompted this episode. Yeah.
So we are going to just go through the questions and answer them. But I did think that before we did that.
Okay.
This isn't my idea. It's Anais' idea. Anais did think that before we did that, we needed to check in with our own personal growth path and like find out with each other. I mean, I know because we talk on the phone, but share with our listeners, like, what are we working through right now? Where are we growing? Where are we transitioning? Where are we transforming?
I don't really know if you do know. We do talk a lot, but I don't think you really know the depths of where I am.
I bet
because
you
obviously you know everything and always have. But like, I feel like even when we talk now, it's a lot of like, oh, did you talk to this person? Because everybody who doesn't know, newsflash, I am also Maury's assistant. So there's a lot of like, here's this email. Can I squeeze a client in during these hours? So we talk constantly, but it's not like a lot of depth anymore. I feel like the deepest we go is on the pod, right?
Well, before the pod. We always have our hour therapy session before the pod.
Sacred hour before the pod.
Yeah, sacred hour. Okay, well, then go ahead. Blow my socks off and tell me what it is that you're working through in your transformation.
my biggest transformation since my Phoenix Rising moment, which we discussed a couple episodes back, which was a really solid episode, we were talking about how I started right around my foot surgery and I started like just saying yes more and opening myself up to more possibilities, which resulted in this podcast, which resulted in me working for you and me just being totally open and no more like, well, just like, yeah, let's do it. So I did it and it's taking me super far and I'm here and I'm very happy where I am. However, I want, since my kids really are full time and next year my son's going to be joining one of my other kids and like he'll be at school even later, I really want to go further with this career of mine and I want to do more. And I'm actually working with somebody else who is also trying to help me unblock some stuff. I can't figure out, like, I feel this momentum inside of me, but I don't know where to go. Like, I feel it. Like, I'm like, I'm ready to do big things and make big moves. And I'm like raring to go, but I'm like, what, where, like what, which direction do I move? Who am I? What am I trying to do? What is this momentum telling me? Like what direct, I feel like a lot of things, honestly, truth talk right now fell into my lap and I was like, yep, I'll do that. Yep. I'll do that. Uh-huh. Nothing's really like falling in my lap anymore. So I feel like I'm reaching a point where I need to be more proactive about something, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I think it has to do with you, but I don't know what it is. I'm not positive, but I don't know what it is.
Anais says, choose something, run, no regrets.
Regrets.
These signs are the best thing that's ever happened.
She motivates us throughout the episode and gives us some tips.
I think that your stating, I am ready, is the most powerful thing. I think you just stay in the energy of I am ready for what's next. And I wouldn't shade yourself for things falling into your lap. That is divine timing. That is you, your manifestations just coming to you. We don't chase, we attract.
Okay, totally agree. And that kept happening, I think, for me. And I kept being like, wow, this does work. Like if you're open, you do receive. Like you just have to be paying more attention to what's out there and stop being so negative about everything. And then things will slowly, if you're looking closely, will start to pile up. But I feel like I kind of hit like a standstill with it. That's where I feel right now, that I have all this energy moving forward, but it sort of is like recycling itself, if you know what I mean. It's not, I'm not losing it. It just, I feel like I have nowhere to put it. Like all this forward momentum, I have no vehicle to put it in to go.
What if you just accepted that whatever is happening now is turning you into the person that's going to be ready for the next thing? Things are always moving. Energy is always moving forward.
But what am I doing?
Bean is in a meditation pose.
I'm now on my third eye.
She's on her third eye and she's having a full session. Anyway, listen. Yeah. I'm not going to coach you. I love this energy for you. And I want you to just stay in the I am ready energy.
Okay. That's I am ready energy. Moment. And I will say this. I am dying to hear what you're working on personal growth wise, because we always look to you as the like Buddha of all enlightenment.
Oh Lord.
So it's always interesting to have a little touch of reality to understand that you too struggle or you too are evolving and growing.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Please do.
I will.
Don't threaten me. Just do it.
It's also a very awkward thing for me to say out loud because the very thing I'm working on, me saying this out loud is part of what I'm working on. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I have had some of my like really amazing clients who have become friends, Dylan Mulvaney being one of them, say to me recently, you know, I don't buy this whole thing where you're the woman behind the talent.
Ooh.
You are the talent.
Oh, snap, Dill. Yes.
I know. And I know that that is what I want. Otherwise, I wouldn't be making a podcast and I wouldn't have written a book and I wouldn't be, you know, on Instagram the way that I am. I recognize the desire in me to be in front of the camera.
Right.
And I know that there's a purpose to it too, which is that I have a really important healing, transformative message for people and that the more of a platform I have, the more people can hear it.
Yes.
So I don't have shame about that desire because I understand the purpose. Great. And yet there is this very shy little girl inside of me who's really holding on to staying invisible. And I am working through how to lovingly coax her along this, hey, we're going to really put ourselves out there now. And we're going to stand fully in the power of who we are, knowing that when I've done that in the past, it doesn't always receive the most adoration from everyone because it can be intimidating. And so I am working on not worrying about the intimidation factor or right. the shame that comes with this desire to be seen and to just step in it and be the talent.
I love that for you. I love that. Bravo. Bravo. Perfect. And I just want to say you. That even being the talent, even with Dylan, I mean, everybody, like, you don't have to be for everyone. For the people who That's feel right. too intimidated by you, they're not in a place where your message will be received anyway. So it's better that they not idolize you or whatever, or see your talent. They just should move along.
Yeah.
That's all.
Totally.
It's okay. Yeah. Right? But that is very vulnerable, and I'm really proud Thank of you. And I'm sure it's going to be a bumpy ride because that is a very vulnerable place to be.
Well, and as I really step into like full acceptance of what my fullest self is, I'm learning a lot of new things about myself. And so that can be really destabilizing. Empowering and destabilizing.
I think it's empowering. I think learning like, oh shit, yeah, that is me. This is me.
Yeah.
It's like getting back to yourself.
I say destabilizing because even I, who teach this form of freedom, which is stepping into your truth, have also built systems and personalities and coping mechanisms around myself that reflect what other people need me to be. And so as I learn things about myself, I'm like, oh, wow, there's another one that was a performance, not a reality.
Oh, interesting. When you recognize that this side of this one aspect of you has really been more of a performance to appease others, but it's something you've been doing for so long, I'm curious how you stop performing.
I use the same thing that I tell people, which is like, awareness is everything. Like once I'm aware that I'm performing, then I have to be accountable to the choice to that I'm, am I still going to do I'm it performing. Or not?
Right. Does this feel good or not?
Yeah.
Which was actually, I think, was one of our questions. I'm going
to
actually.
Let's get to our listener questions.
Oh, right,
Enough
right.
of this talk
okay,
about
of
ourselves.
Us being insane. I'm using my phone because the listener questions were texted over.
Great.
I want to actually say the one, there's a handful here, which honestly feels so heartwarming. Which one was it?
Listen to the first one. I mean, start with the first
just
one.
Just do the first one? Okay.
Yeah.
This was, we had a great episode a few weeks ago with Prune Harris, really amazing energy expert.
Episode 42.
Episode 42. Check it out. I listened to your episode on energy with Prune Harris, and I learned so much. Thank you for that. I've been feeling really drained lately about how I'm feeling other people are thinking about me. I'm realizing that I've been pretending to be what people want me to be. But it's clear to me now other people's thoughts are draining my energy and pretending to be what other people need. What's your advice? So that's basically what you were just saying. Did that make sense?
So people, the way that other people think is draining this person's energy, and their strategy to cope with it has been to be pretending.
To be the person that these people are thinking they are.
Which is also draining their energy.
Correct. So how do you step out of that? Acting or that feeling, that role that you feel like you're supposed to be doing. I don't want to say acting.
These are two separate things. One is the way that this person puts their own sense of value on what other people think about them,
right.
which clearly they're not alone. That is the majority of us. And then the second thing is, as a strategy, they are in a performance like I was talking about, which I think all of us do. All of us are pretending. At some level, it doesn't have to be at 100%, but at some level, all of us are pretending to try and receive belonging. So I'm just going to separate them into two questions.
Okay.
My advice on the being so focused on how other people view you is to, one, give yourself grace that that is part of the human condition. We are a tribal species. We have grown instinctually to care what other people think because our ancestors needed others for survival. So just know that this is part of your human instinct, first of all, is to be aware of other people and how they're registering you. I'm just going to say something that you may have to go sit with and meditate on, but you can never expect people who have not done the work to come to their own truth.
Yeah.
To validate your truth. So we exist in this insanity where we are looking to people who don't actually value their own truth to tell us that ours is valuable, which is impossible.
Right.
So my answer would be, think on that.
think on when you are looking to others' thoughts about you to define your value. Are these people clean vessels? What I mean by that is, are they clear?
Clear.
And by clear, I mean, do they value their own self, their own truth? And I guarantee that if they do, no matter where you're vibrating on your frequency, they will see and value you on that frequency because they hold themselves in that regard. And they have compassion for how our frequencies change every day, depending on what we're dealing with and what we're healing. Sometimes we're in our higher selves and totally empowered and confident. And sometimes we're triggered and we're in that shadow self that needs to be tended to tenderly. When people have done that work and walked that path, they have compassion for that. They don't have judgment over the contracted self. So I guess what I'm saying is the people that you're basing your value on, if they've done the work, then they're going to see you for where you're at and love and value you for it. If they haven't done the work, you're looking into a foggy mirror trying to see a clear reflection, and that'll never happen.
Wow. It's quite the analogy.
Thank you. The second part is about pretending. Pretending is a survival strategy we do to gain validation and belonging. So again, the awareness that that is a survival strategy most of us are in will allow you not feel so alone in it. There's nothing wrong with you. The fact that you're pretending is something you've been taught to do. I mean, fake it till you make it is an actual freaking statement that we say.
Right.
So it's just it's just something we've been taught to do, is to pretend so that we can gain that validation. Just understand that that's part of the human experience.
Right.
Then from that place of understanding, I want you to get really clear about the cost and reward. What is the cost of pretending and what is the reward? And I guarantee that when the cost outweighs the reward, and by the way, the fact that you're asking this question is telling me it has already outweighed the reward,
right?
Which is that it's draining your energy. Then you're accountable to, well, what is the opposite of this? The opposite is to be in my truth. What is the cost? What is the reward? And as that scale starts to tilt towards the rewards of being in your truth are greater than the cost of, or the rewards of pretending, you have no choice but to walk more and more towards it. And the last thing I'll say is baby steps. This isn't an overnight transformation. So maybe it is just working on this month, speaking up when you don't agree on something, or saying no when you mean no, or wearing something that you've really wanted to wear and just trying it on and going out with it on. Whatever it is, these are little tiny acts of rebellion against the pretending self. And those little tiny acts of rebellion add up to a more truer version of yourself.
And I think you can also understand that you can't necessarily apply it to every area of your life immediately. Like, yeah. I bet it's way harder to do that in a professional environment. Like, I do it very successfully in my friendships. I only surround myself with people who like are very clear vessels, as you said, because they accept me as me. I accept them as them. I'm not as good at doing that in other areas of my life, though, so that it can be, you might be, you know, it takes time. You have to work towards it, and don't feel like you have to show up as your truest self across the board immediately.
Right. Yeah.
That's baby steps. That's just, I just mansplained that to you.
Yeah, that's okay. No, you just restated it.
Okay.
All right. What else do we have?
Here's a really good one. This is kind of this actually piggybacks on what I was just saying. How do you stay creative? How do you stay in creative mode when you have a 9-to-5? I think that's a real struggle for a lot of people. And that's another way of like, how do you show up authentically when like doing this 9-to-5 buttoned up business is not really resonating with who you are, but you need the paycheck?
That is a really big question.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks. Really relatable, because work culture is not designed to reward individual creativity.
Right.
It is designed to reward assimilation and groupthink.
Which is why you jumped ship, I think, truly. That is the core of why you were like, I can't be myself here.
Yeah. Yeah. So leave. No, I'm kidding. So I think
and start your own business.
Since we're not going to make this a whole episode just on this question, I'm going to give you two tips, two ways.
Take it.
The outside of work method and during the 9-to-5 method. I'll start with the easier one, which is, you know, really make sure that you're designing your life in a way that allows you to cultivate creativity outside of your job.
Right.
Whatever that looks like. If you're an artist and you're drawing, or you're a writer and you're even just journaling, or you're taking a class, or, you know, really feed that part of your soul that wants creativity outside of work. That will bleed into work, which goes into the second tip here, which is how do you be creative in the 9-to-5? I think that if you cultivate the energy of creativity in your life, it will show up in your job in the way that you problem solve, in the way that you approach a project or a task that you've been given. And so being creative in your 9-to-5 is, think about it like being innovative, like not doing things the same old way just because, I hate this sentence in corporate culture, that's the way we do it here. Be a rebel against that's the way we do it here, and push yourself to look for new ways to do the very same thing in a way that is different, has a new perspective, you know, is more creative. And then also in your 9-to-5, creativity has to do with ideas. Share your ideas. Just because we do it the same way for the last decade doesn't mean we don't need you to speak up and say, what if we tried this? So many innovations in society have come from people with groundbreaking ideas, and that is creativity. So allow that energy of creativity to flow through you at work by speaking up with your ideas and not trying so hard to just agree with everyone and go with the masses.
That also, I think, applies what your one idea of if you foster your creativity outside, it will bleed into your work. I think it also applies to the last question we were talking about, which is if you slowly start to show up as your truest self in certain areas of your life, it will slowly bleed into other areas and you'll begin showing up.
That's right.
More real in other areas.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Should we hop to a new question? I thought that was good.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, good. I'm trying to be quick.
I think you have great answers.
We can get through a lot.
Yeah. Do you have any tips on being more direct during conflict? I feel like I have to justify my feelings and over explain.
Yeah, I am going to go out on a limb and guess that this question is coming from someone who identifies as female.
I assumed the exact same thing.
Because.
Isn't that unfortunate?
Yeah. Those of us that identify as female are trained that feminine is soft. And that is how we will gain admiration and love, is through our femininity and through our softness.
Right.
And directness is not necessarily soft. So there is a really big cultural wave that you're moving against here when you're working on being direct, if in fact this person identifies as female. So with all that, I just want to say that because it's not just easy. You know, it's a lot of training and it's been generations of training for us. But I think that when you notice yourself having to explain your feelings, what I want you to know more than anything is that everyone can sense things. And so when you're explaining your feelings, the energy that's coming through is that you don't even believe the thing you're about to say, that you're having to build a justification for the thing that you're about to say. So just know that, yes, the desire is there to explain the feelings because you want to people please. However, the thing that you've worked yourself up to have this conversation about is going to get muddied in that explanation. So the impact you're looking for won't necessarily happen. So you worked yourself up to this place of discomfort to have this conversation, and you're going to end up not reaching your goal because that desire to explain your feelings is going to complicate the message. And they're going to be reading the energy of, she doesn't really mean this, or they don't really have the conviction of this belief. And then is it even worth it? Like, then you've wasted your energy and time and you haven't made the impact. The other thing I'll say about being direct is I coach this a lot actually to my male executives, CEOs, not because they can't be direct, but sometimes they can really enjoy the thought process being out loud and they think that other people enjoy it.
Right.
And so I have to just say to them, like, as if this is a headline on a newspaper, say it and then pause.
Right.
And let people take it in. So if you're practicing being direct, ask yourself, what is the main point I'm trying to make? Say that first and then pause.
I also think that I think a lot of people share their feelings and whatnot in an attempt to convince the other person that what they're saying is correct. And you can unapologetically stand in what you believe and not need the other person to come to your side necessarily. So if you are confident in what right. you're saying, it almost doesn't even matter if they are like, yeah, what you're saying is totally right. You're just sort of like, this is my truth and I'm right. sharing it with you, period.
Right.
That's it. I don't have to explain it to you or justify why I feel this way. This is how I feel.
I think it's hard to get there, Bean. I think you have totally. A little bit more, you're a little bit more self-possessed than a lot of us can be. And so I think that it's hard to just think like, no, it's a very good thing. So, sorry, oh, self-possessed means like you're self-empowered. No, it's a compliment. You are confident enough in the way that you feel and believe that you don't always need the validation from the person you're talking to.
I don't, but this is, and I've never felt that way, but I have over-explained myself until I'd say a few years ago when I decided right. it is not my job to explain this to you in every detail. I am going to lay out the facts and you yeah. can interpret them as you need. It is yeah. not my job to make you see exactly how I'm seeing it in the exact way I'm seeing it. I yeah. even have taken this even further and I'm trying to not be as like it, when I'm at a restaurant, I'm very polite to wait staff. I'm very complimentary. I'm always doing this. I'm so sorry to bother yeah. you. I'm so sorry. And I've tried yeah. to make a real effort in front of my kids to stop saying that. Yeah. I don't need to apologize for asking for a fork. Like,
good job.
That this is the setting we're in. I need yeah. a fork. You are the exact person yeah. who can bring me the fork. I can say, when you get a chance, could you bring me a fork? But I yeah. don't have to apologize. I can just state yeah. the fact. I need a fork.
Yeah. Really good. No, I agree with you.
You understand what I'm saying?
We don't have to soften ourselves. Yeah, no, I love it. I agree. And I think you're bringing up a really good point, which is that you don't need them to understand how you got to the need. You just Correct. Need them to understand the need and then Right. go figure out how to get it met on their own. You don't even need to tell them how to go meet it. Just that they understand that this is a need you have and that they then go take
Right.
the accountability and the time to figure out how to meet it.
And if they don't, that in itself is very telling.
Yes.
If they totally. Hear your need and they hear what you're saying and they still nothing shifts or nothing changes or they don't validate you in any way, then you're like, oh, that's how our dynamic is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Right. Do you think we have time okay, good. For another question?
I don't yeah, let's wanna... do one last.
Okay. All right. How do empaths protect their energy? How can we put up appropriate blocks so that we aren't picking up everyone else's emotions and energies? We need tools. I think this is why I've been avoidant a lot of my life and prefer to be a homebody. Because I'm exhausted after being around so many people. People have a lot of emotions. To be able to tune in and out of these frequencies as needed would be such a gift. Is this even possible? Maybe this could be a topic.
Oh, that is a big question.
Did my sister write that question?
I know. Oh, well, listen, the good news is I feel like we have so many episodes to go back and listen yeah. to. I think Prune episode is a good one. I think we said that was 42. Episode 40 on highly sensitive people. We talk a lot about that. You know, I will say this as an empath. When I learned that I can look at the information that I'm getting through someone's emotion as simply that and not a call to action, it changed my life.
Wow.
So the reframe is just that. This is information. Melissa is sad. Right. It is not a call to action, number one. Number two, then getting involved and fixing it for her is totally inappropriate, which we talk about in the HSP episode because it disempowers them. But what I'm hearing this person say is like receiving the energy of the emotion all day long is really exhausting and draining. You got to figure out what resources you and you have to put that first. So it's okay that your friend group wants to go to brunch on Sunday after everyone just went out on Saturday night. You don't need to say yes to that if you need another day to resource yourself. Know what drains you, especially if you're picking up on other people's emotions, and give yourself quiet time. Leave the conference for an hour and go sit in your room. You know, find a way to go take a walk after time with a group of people. Think about what you need to fill your energy system back up. And like Prune said to us, no one can drain your energy if you are constantly in a state of resourcing yourself.
Yes.
Filling up your own energy. So really, as a highly sensitive person or as a highly sensing person or an empath, then if you know that you take in emotion constantly, look at the environments where you're going to take in emotion constantly and ask yourself, what do I need to do before and after this for me? How am I going to feel resourced either before I go into this or after this?
I think before is great. We often don't think about gearing up before we go in. We just sort of go in blindly and then we're like, okay, now I need to rest. But you're right. Capitalizing on the before and the after is super smart.
Yeah.
Gosh, you Prune are gave something.
Us, wow. Prune gave us an exercise actually that I do now before my sessions. She said, one hand on your forehead, one hand on your belly, three deep breaths. And she calls this coming home to yourself. That reminder of like, I'm coming back into my energy system. This right. is mine.
Right.
Just that alone has helped me so much when right. I go do really intense sessions with people. So what is something you can do before you're going to go engage? And then how do you shake it off? Like sometimes shake or dance or go yeah. for a walk, like move your body, but shake that energy off of you. And then also remember, their emotions are not yours to fix. And that'll hopefully take the weight of their emotions off of you a little bit. And also, boundaries. If you know that you're not in a resource state and you're about to go be with someone who complains a lot, don't go be with them that day. It's okay. It's okay because you are not going to be in a headspace where you will actually be able to be there for them, which is what they're needing from you. So it's better to just not be there and find a different time to connect.
So wise. So wise.
That I feel was
like
fun.
I could do this all day. I know. I really feel like I want people to keep doing questions. I'm curious though how it'll be received on the listener's end.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah. Let us know that. Well, actually, yeah, guys. So listen, please DM us questions at Signal with Maury and
thoughts,
Melissa.
Anything, commentary, anything you want.
Yeah, absolutely. We would love it. And we will keep doing these listener question episodes so that we can be coaching and guiding and growing along with you as things are coming up for you. So definitely submit your questions. And as always, if you want to support the show, leave us a review wherever you're listening. And please share this episode or any episode that we referenced that you thought was helpful with your friends and family. And until next week, Bean, love ya. Bye. This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted by me, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka. Special thanks to my production team, Anushree Thekadeth, Arman Kassam, and Anais Islami. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. See you then.